சதாசிவசமாரம்பாம் சங்கராச்சார்ய மத்யமாம் அஸ்மதாச்சார்ய பர்யந்தாம் வந்தே குரு பரம்பராம். ஓம். வி ஆர் சீயிங் லார்ட் கிருஷ்ணாஸ் என்யூமரேஷன் ஆஃப் ஈஸ்வர விபூதிஸ் ஆர் தி க்ளோரிஸ் ஆஃப் ஈஸ்வரா. The entire creation being the manifestation of the Lord, the whole creation is the glory of the Lord only. Still, Lord Krishna chooses a prominent, glorious things and beings in the creation, and Krishna claims those special things as his glory. And the purpose of this enumeration is that we can choose those objects as special objects in which the Lord can be invoked. For example, even though all rivers are the glory of the Lord only, Krishna enumerates Ganga as the glorious river, and therefore we can worship Ganga as a special river, invoking the Lord in that. And that is why in our culture also, Ganga Snanam is considered to be a special punyam, because Krishna enumerates that. So thus, for upasana purposes, this enumeration will be useful, because everyone enumerated here can serve as an alambanam. And as I said, Krishna's enumeration is based on the things experienced here, and many of the enumerations are based on the mythological stories also. And that is how we saw in verse number 30, Daityanam Prakhladaha Asmi. Krishna assumes that we know the Puranas, and we also know the story of Hiranyakashipu and Prakhlada, who, even though born an asura, becomes the greatest devotee of the Lord. And Prahlada Stuti in the Bhagavatam is a very, very well-known stotram in which we find the highest Vedanta talked about. In the Bhagavatam, there are many stutis or stotram. Dhruva Stutihi, Prahlada Stutihi, Kunti Stutihi, Bhishma Stutihi. Each character glorifies the Lord, and the beauty is, in those stotrams, not only the Puranic glories are there, the highest Vedanta is also packed in those stutis, and in that, Prahlada is also a great one. And Prahlada Stuti in Bhagavatam is famous. And as I said, this is a very important thing, because even though Prahlada is born an asura, by spiritual sadhana, he could change his character and become a jnani. Therefore, one need not feel bad about one's janma. Jati does not indicate superiority or inferiority. What is important is karma and guna. If you remember the fourth chapter, I talked about jati brahmana, karma brahmana, guna brahmana. Jati kshatriya, karma kshatriya and guna kshatriya. Don't focus on the jati, but focus on the right choice of karma. Proper karma we have to choose, and by doing that karma with proper attitude, we have to transform our character, and ultimately we should become guna brahmanaha, Prahlada became a guna brahmana, and therefore Krishna takes this opportunity to name him Prahladaschasmi Daityanam. Then Kalaha Kalayatamaham, I am the Kala Tattvam also, who is responsible for the maintenance of the ripening of the karma at the appropriate time. Every karma that I do has to ripen and produce the phalam at the right time, and it requires the maintenance of the law of karma principles. I am the Kala Tattvam who is responsible for that. And not only that, when there is a group of people, like a family, or like an institution, or like a class even, simultaneously, the karma of many people have to fructify. So my karma is fructifying in this class, and your karma is also fructifying, the karma of all the people. And the most interesting thing is that somebody's punyam is also fructifying, some people's papam also is fructifying. If you are bored with the class and you are suffering unhappiness, then what karma is fructifying? Ide class. Some people are exhausting the papam, some people are exhausting the punyam. What about me? I don't want to say whether I am exhausting my punyam or papam. So thus, simultaneously, one event taking place in the family has to take place in such a way that the karma of every family member has to fructify. And imagine somebody falls sick and another member is serving that sick person. The sick person's papam is fructifying, and also he has got some punyam because another member in the family is serving that person. So that I have got some family member to serve me, it is my punyam. And that they have to spend sleepless night for my sake is, their papam. So, ungulukkaha ava thookam mulichal, for your sake, if they are keeping awake, it is your punyam you have got such a family member. And it is their papam that they have to lose the sleep and struggle. Thus, Bhagavan has to connect such people, and the karma has to fructify appropriately. Now you can imagine what a complicated order Bhagavan has to manage. And that is why often in Bhagavatam, Bhagavan names himself as Kalaha. I am that intelligent Kala Tattvam who makes the appropriate karma of the appropriate person to fructify at the appropriate time. Up to this, we saw in the last class. So now we have come to the appropriate time to see the next line. What is that? Mriganam cha mrigendroham. All animals are also my manifestation. And every animal has got a unique feature. And if you have got any doubt, look or see the animal planet program in the television. Instead of Uliyum, 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 illa ippa illa nenikiren. Eppodu adhe solirukken, I don't know, Chitti, iruka? Okay. I don't know what is on. Chittiya, Valkaya, Sondama, Bandama, theriyala. So whatever it is, I don't say you should not watch them, but also see the animal planet from the smallest ant to the big elephant. Every animal has got a unique glory. And therefore, all animals are my glory. But among them, who is the king of the forest? Mriganancha Mrigendraha. Mrigendraha means lion. So lion is known as the king of animals. Therefore, Mriganam Indraha. I am the lion among all animals. And Vainate Yascha Pakshinam. All the Pakshis. Pakshi means a bird. Pakshaha means a wing. And Pakshi means that which has got a wing. So two wings are there. Therefore, Pakshau Asya Staha Iti Pakshi, the winged one. Then can you call aeroplane also as Pakshi? According to definition, you can call an aircraft also as a Pakshi because it has got wing is there. So, among the winged beings, the birds, I am Vainateyaha. Vainateyaha means Garudaha. Garuda is the son of Vinata. Vinata Sutaha Vainateyaha. Garuda's mother is called Vinata. And Garuda is the most glorious bird, devoted bird, that it is the mount or vahanam of Lord Vishnu. So, Pakshi Vahanaha, Garuda Vahanaha, etc. And in Vaishnava Sampradaya, Garuda is given a prominent position. Garuda Alvar. Garuda Alvar, Sulamatalo. Alvar means what? A great devotee. So, the one who is immersed, Alaradu means to get immersed. So, Garuda Alvar means a devotee who immerses himself in the devotion of the Lord. Therefore, I am that great devotee, Garudaha, among birds. Continuing. Pavanah Pavatamasmi Ramashastrabhritamaham Jashanam makarashchasmi Srotasamasmi Janhavi Pavatam aham pavanaha asmi. Pavatam means among the purifiers. So there are so many things which purify. Ganga Jalam purifies, or any water purifies if the water is pure. Okay. So if a local water nama snanam panna, we don't know whether we will become cleaner by bath or we will become dirtier by bath, we do not know. So pure water is capable of purifying. Therefore, water is a purifier, fire is a purifier. That is why before surgery, so they heat all the instruments, it is for purification. In fact, cooking itself is a method of purification. Why should we boil the water? Again, purifier. And wind is also a purifier. So especially if things have got a foul smell, you dry it in the open, then the smell will go. So here Krishna says, among all the purifiers, I am Pavanaha Vayuhu. So which moves Pavate iti Pavanaha. So that which moves and also that which purifies Punati iti Pavanaha. And that is why Anjaneya is called Pavanasutaha. The son of Vayu. Pavanasutaha means Vayu Kumaraha. Therefore, I am the purifier, wind. Then, Ramaha Shastrabhritam Aham. And that is the reason also we worship the wind also. Not only we worship Bhumi, we worship Agni, and we worship Vayu also. Namaste Vayu. Enga vandhudu? In Shikshavalli, in the Shanti Patha, Namo Brahmane நமஸ்தே வாயோ த்வமேவ ப்ரத்யக்ஷம் ப்ரஹ்மாஸி த்வமேவ ப்ரத்யக்ஷம் ப்ரஹ்ம வதிஷ்யாமி. இன் விச் கல்ச்சர் வி வில் எ பர்சன் வில் ரிவியர் வாயு, வாட் அன் ஆட்டிடியூட், பிகாஸ் தி லார்ட் சேஸ் ஐ ஆம் இன் தி ஃபார்ம் ஆஃப் வாயு ஆல்சோ. தென் ராமஹா சத்ரபிருதாம் அஹம். சோ எமங் தி காட்ஸ் who wield different types of weapon, so all our gods have weapon. So Lord Shiva has got, he is Parashuhastaha, he has got Parashu, he is called Pinaka Panihi, the one who has got a bow called Pinakam, and Rama is called Kodanda Panihi, Vishnu is called ஷாரங்கபாணிகி, ஷாரங்கபாணிங்கிற, பட் இட் இஸ் ரியலி ஷாரங்கபாணிகி. தஸ் ஆல் அவர் காட் ஹவ் காட் வெப்பன். வை டு தே ஹாவ் வெப்பன்? ஹூ எவர் ஹாஸ் டு ப்ரொடெக்ட் தர்ம வில் ஹாவ் டு வீல்ட் தி வெப்பன். வி ஷுட் நோ திஸ் கிளியர்லி, பிகாஸ் தேர் ஆர் சம் பீப்புள் ஹூ கிரிட்டிசைஸ் அவர் ரிலிஜியன் சேயிங் your gods are not compassionate, your gods really do not love you, our god only loves you, your god does not love you because all your gods have got weapons. Only bhayamadhyudra, and we also ashadis believe and listen to such stories. So let it be very clear, anybody who has to protect dharma paritranaya சாதுநாம் விநாசாய ச துஷ்கிருதாம் தர்ம சம்ஸ்தாபனார்த்தாய ஹூஎவர் ஹேஸ் டு டூ வில் ஹாவ் டு கீப் வெப்பன். பிகாஸ் டு ப்ரொடெக்ட் தர்ம வி ஹாவ் டு யூஸ் ஃபோர் உபாயஸ், சாம தான பேத அண்ட் தண்ட. சாம தான பேத ஆர் நான் வயலண்ட் மெத்தட்ஸ் ஆஃப் ப்ரொடெக்டிங் தர்ம. And we should attempt initially to protect dharma by non-violent method only. And if non-violent methods fail, ultimately we will have to use violent method. And violence for dharma rakshanam is not wrong. Not only it is not wrong, it is right. And not only it is right, that alone is right. And that is why in the case of Ramayana also we find Rama gives the last chance to Ravana. The Kamba Ramayana thula solluvaala illaya, indru poi naalai va one more. And in Mahabharatam also last Krishna goes as a messenger to avoid war. These are all what? Non-violent methods. If all of them fail, violence has to be used. And it is not papam, it is punyam. That is why Krishna advised Arjuna, dharmyadhi yuddha chreyonyate kshatriyasya na vidyate. For a kshatriya, dharma yuddham is a duty. Dharma yuddham produces punyam. And if a person takes to dharma yuddha, he will attain only veera swarga, never papam and narakam. And not only Krishna advises Arjuna to take to dharma yuddha, all our gods wield weapons only for the sake of dharma rakshanam. It is exactly like I have told you often, a doctor amputating a particular organ for saving the patient. The first aim of the doctor is to cure the disease without any hurt or permanent handicap. And if all the methods fail and the disease will spread all over, then he will have to take to amputation, and destroying asuras is amputation of a part of the society for saving the society. Tyajedekam kulasyarthe. You can sacrifice a person for protecting a family. Gramasyarthe kulam tyaje. For saving a whole village, a family can be sacrificed. Gramam janapadasyarthe. For saving the whole nation, a village can be sacrificed. Atmarthe prithivim tyaje. For getting moksha, you can sacrifice everything. Anyway, why I am saying all this is, our gods are intelligently wielding weapons. It is not a defect, it is not a dushanam, but it is a bhushanam. Then in the case of devotees, how the weapons will be used? Okay, in the case of Rakshasas, the Lord has to use weapon to destroy. But in the case of devotees, how will the Lord use the weapon? We say that in the case of devotees also, Lord will use the weapon for what? For destroying our inner enemies. Kama, Krodha, Lobha, Moha, Mada, Matsarya, all of them he destroys. And that is why Lord's chakram is called Sudarshana chakram. Sudarshanam means what? It serves as a weapon of knowledge. Darshanam means jnanam. And that too, what type of darshanam? Sudarshanam, right knowledge. Brahma jnanam ityartaha. And by using the weapon of samyak jnanam, Lord destroys what? Ajnana andhakaraha. Therefore, Lord should wield weapons to destroy the external enemies as well as to destroy the inner enemies. And all gods are great, but here Krishna says, among the weapon wielders, I am Ramaha. Rama is the greatest god among Shastrabhrit. And Rama has got what bow? I told you, Kodanda Panihi. So Shastrabhritam Ramaha Aham. Then Jashanam Makarashchasmi. Among the water animals, aquatic creatures, so there are millions of jivarashis. In fact, you should know that the creatures in the ocean are much more than the ones on the land. Because on the earth, only 1/3 or so is the land, 2/3 is water. Therefore, millions of jivarashis are there. They are all called jashaha. And among those aquatic creatures, I am Makaraha. I am Makara. Makara, we can take as the biggest one, the whale. So what exactly is Makara is not known. Different people give different meanings. Some people say it is shark. Some people say it is whale. And that is why I translated the word Makara into English as Makara. Says M-A-K-A-R-A Potuta. So therefore, anyone you can take, whale being the biggest one, we can take that meaning also. Makarashchasmi. Then Srotasam Asmi Janhavi. Srotas means rivers. So that which flows. Srotaha, sru, savati, to flow. Srotas means the flowing one. In short, rivers. And among all the rivers of the world, I am Janhavi. Do you remember the word Janhavi? I told you Ganga Avataranam story. Only 2 weeks before, I have not given you sufficient time to forget. And therefore, I hope you remember Jannu Maharshi, from his ear Ganga Devi came, and therefore Ganga is called Jannu Kanya, Jannu Putri, etc. Therefore Jannavi, I am Ganga. And the Ganga, as a river itself, is considered to be a very sacred one. In fact, they say Ganga is agam papam gamayati iti Ganga. Aganga, aganga, aganga became Ganga. So agaha means papam, gamayati means the one who removes. Therefore, a dip in Ganga is considered to be a great purifier. Mala nirmochanam pumsam jalasnanam dine dine sakrit gitam bhasisnanam samsara malamochanam. And according to Vedanta, Ganga represents the Brahma Vidya Pravaha. It symbolizes the flow of spiritual knowledge. And why do we compare Ganga to the flow of spiritual knowledge? Because there are so many common features between them. Firstly, Ganga originates from Lord Shiva's head forest. Even though originally she was in Swargaloka, when it came down on the earth, only Lord Shiva received. And from Lord Shiva's head alone, Ganga is coming down to bless us. And for Brahma Vidya also, who is the Adi Guru? So I have a Guru, and you ask my Guru, what will he say? I am not the originator, I got from my Guru. Avartaketa Nusalwar, from my Guru. So naturally the question will be, who is the first Guru? And that is what we chant in the beginning of the class, Sadashiva Samarambham. Therefore, Ganga comes from Lord Shiva, Brahma Vidya comes from Lord Shiva's head. Therefore, both are same. And the river flows from higher plane to lower plane, because that is how water flows, gravitational flow from higher to lower. And similarly, Brahma Vidya also flows from Guru to Shishya. And generally, Guru is seated on a higher plane, correct? And Shishyas are seated in lower plane. And therefore, Brahma Vidya teaching is flowing from the Guru to Shishya. And that is why the gallery type of lecture hall generally we don't recommend, because so there the seats are arranged like this. Now Guru has to pump the knowledge against the gravitational flow, and even if Guru manages, naturally it flows down. So every day the Shishya comes with an empty mind. So therefore, it should be ipdi irukana, ipdi irunda ipdi. That is not the right method. Therefore, Ganga flows from higher to lower plane. Brahma Vidya flows from Guru to Shishya, higher to lower. That is why in Mundaka Upanishad, Paravare, Para, Avara. Paravaram, it was called Paravaram. Sab Brahma Vidyam Sarva Vidya Pratishtham Atharvaya Jeshta Putraya Praha Atharvaneyam Pravadeta Brahma Tarvatam Purovachangire Brahma Vidyam Sabharadvajaya Satyavahaya Praha Bharadvajaha Angirase Paravaram. Paravaram Shuna Melend Kiravaradu Nartam. So this is the second common feature. Then the third common feature is Ganga is a perennial river, unlike our local rivers which go dry. Ganga will never go dry, because even in the worst summer, Ganga will have water melting, the ice melted water will be there. That's why in summer Ganga is very cold. We think that summer it will be very pleasant. In fact, summer you feel the cold more, because outside the temperature is so high and the water is ice melted water. The contrast is so much. Similarly, Brahma Vidya Parampara also is perennial. It never dries up. The flow never breaks. What is the proof? What is the proof? Very, very brilliant question. It is like asking you the question, your family parampara is broken or not? Kata enna badal solluvar? I am sitting here solid 85 kilos. What other proof do you require for the continuity of the santati? The very fact that even now we are able to learn Brahma Vidya is proof for the perennial nature of this Brahma Vidya. This is the third common feature. Then the fourth common feature is, if you dip in Ganga, you feel very fresh and rejuvenated. So even if you have walked 20 kilometers, once I walked from Gomukh to Gangotri, 20 kilometers or something, and I thought I cannot walk further, I had a dip in Ganga, in Gangotri, got somehow strength and another few kilometers we could walk. So what I want to say is, it is a rejuvenating water. In the same way, if you dip in this teaching, what do you mean by dipping in this teaching? Not that inge vandu mooka pidichu ipdi ipdi pannanam illa. Listening to this teaching, exposing yourself to this teaching is getting immersed in that. That also refreshes you, and therefore both are refreshing factors, rejuvenating factors. Then the next common feature is, that is what I said, sakrit gitambhasi snanam samsara malamochanam. Gita ngara gangela snanam pannitishana, you will be purified. And what is the next feature? Even though Ganga flows from Gomukh downwards up to Calcutta, you cannot take a dip anywhere you like. It is a dangerous risk, because you don't know where there is a whirlpool, you don't know where there are rocks, you don't know what is the depth of the river. Therefore, you can take a dip only in that place where there are steps available. They call it snana ghat. Adhik English le enna solrathu? That kadavu or whatever, padithurai ingralalyo. So therefore that place which is specially built for taking the dip, that is called a ghat. Just as you can take a Ganga dip only in specified place, similarly, the Brahma Vidya Snanam also, you cannot do anywhere, you have to go to Guru Ghat. The Brahma Vidya Guru represents the special place. If you take a Vedantic book and read, it is a dangerous proposition. Because not only you will not understand, you will misunderstand also. Therefore, if you want to take a dip in Brahma Vidya, enda edathukku pohanam? Guru ngara ghatukku pohanam. So thus, in many respects, Brahma Vidya and Ganga are similar, and therefore Krishna says, Srotasam aham janhavi asmi. Continuing, sarganamadirantascha madhyam chaivaham arjuna adhyatma vidya vidyanam vadah pravadatamaham. Sarganam, among the created objects or the creations, I am the adihi, antaha, madhyancha. You can understand adihi means beginning, antaha means end, madhyam means middle. But this seems to be a repetition because the same thing Krishna has said in the 20th verse also. The 20th verse, which is the beginning of the vibhuti, Krishna says, Ahamatma gudakecha sarvabhutacha yastitaha ahamadischa madhyancha bhutanam antayevacha. So I am the beginning, middle and end. Angen sulrikar, ingen sulrikar, how to reconcile? Because repetition is supposed to be a dosha. So it's called punarukti doshaha. And how do we reconcile? The commentators point out that one indicates the beginning, middle and end spatially, and another indicates beginning, middle and end time-wise. So therefore, whether you look at spatially or whether you look at time-wise, I am the beginning, middle and end of the creation. So one is srishti sthiti laya karanam, that is time wise, and space wise I am the patala loka also, and I am the brahma loka also, and I am the middle bhuloka also. Everything I am. So sarganam adihi madhyam antascha ahameva arjuna. Then adhyatma vidya vidyana. So vidya means any discipline of knowledge, any science is called vidya. And there are so many branches of knowledge. In the tradition also there are so many branches, like the four Vedas, Shiksha, Kalpaha, Vyakaranam, Niruktam, Chandaha, Jyotisham. So many branches are there in the tradition. And modern sciences are many, you know. Among all of them, Krishna says here, I am the spiritual knowledge. So adhyatma vidya means atma jnanam ahamasmi, because all other branches of science deal with anatma only, whether it is physics or chemistry or biology or zoology or botany or mechanics, electricity, magnetism, anything you name, they all deal with what? The anatma, the material things, whereas adhyatma vidya is the one which is dealing with atma. I am the atma vidya. That is why in the 9th chapter, self-knowledge was titled Raja Vidya. Raja Vidya means the king among the knowledge or disciplines of knowledge. And why do we say self-knowledge is the greatest one? You can give any number of reasons. Just we will see a few. The first thing is, Atma is the only reality. Everything else other than Atma is mithya or unreal. Therefore, all other branches deal with the unreal, whereas this alone deals with satyam. So this is paravidya, and they are all aparavidya. In Kathopanishad, Shankaracharya says, aparavidya hi avidya nutar. All the material knowledge is as good as ignorance, because they are dealing with non-substantial non-entity. Therefore, being satya jnanam, it is great. And the second reason is, this is the only knowledge which liberates a person from the sense of limitation, which is the biggest problem of a human being, the sense of limitation, the sense of physical limitation, is expressing in the form of our desire to accumulate more and more and more and more, because with myself I feel I am limited. So I have a sense of physical limitation, I have a sense of emotional limitation, that I am not loved by all, I am not loved by my own children. Ni irukkaya ponaya kuda kekka matengran, they don't even inquire about me. So all these are what? Emotional deprivation, emotional sense of limitation. Then the next level of limitation is intellectual. Any amount I know that I don't know much. The greater I know, the greater the ignorance is exposed. And therefore, this sense of limitation is samsara. And any branch of knowledge other than self-knowledge, any other branch of knowledge will not remove this limitation. In fact, not only it will not remove, it will create only further limitation. Like that scientist, Newton or Edison, who said, I was only playing on the shore with a few pebbles. Thousands of discoveries he had made, and at the time of death he declared that I was only playing with a few pebbles on the shore while the vast ocean of the truth is in front. So therefore, material sciences will only increase the sense of limitation, whereas this is the only knowledge which makes me say, Purnamadaha, Purnamidam, Purnat, Purnamudachyate. Erindrindu poyadalengo, I am just only quoting. So I am Purnaha. That Purnatvam comes only by self-knowledge. Therefore, this is liberating knowledge. It is the second reason. If you want one more reason for its superiority, this is the rarest of knowledge. Most of the people do not come. Vyasacharya said in the second chapter of the Gita, many people do not come to this knowledge. And even those, among those who come, many people do not understand. And therefore, the number of people who know this is very, very, very limited. And therefore, it is the rarest of knowledge. Therefore, Krishna says, I am the spiritual knowledge. Then the next one, Vadaha Pravadatamaham. Vadaha means a discussion for arriving at the truth is called Vadaha. In our tradition, they talk about several types of discussion. Anything you take, they have studied thoroughly. So they talk about vada, they talk about jalpa, they talk about vitanda, they talk about jati, they talk about chalam. These are all different types of discussion. And vada or samvada between guru and shishya, both are meant for only one purpose, and that is arriving at the truth. Whereas in all other discussion, arriving at the truth is not the aim, winning the argument is the aim. And that is why in most of the discussion, both the people do not listen to the other. When I am arguing, the other person is preparing what he has to say. நீங்க ஆத்துல பாருங்க, அதிக நேரம் இப்படிதான் பண்ணிட்டு இருப்பேன். So when the other person is talking, we rarely listen, we are planning for our attack. So that means what? That person's speech, nobody is listening. And if that is true with regard to you, when you are shouting, not even speaking, do you think the other person is hearing? Never. 99% be assured, what we talk, the other person is not listening. Because when you start a discussion or dialogue, initially I start for the sake of knowledge, but soon my ego takes over and therefore I don't want to accept my ignorance. I don't want to accept my deficiency. And that's why they say, often arguments or discussions produce more heat than light. That's why we use the expression, lighted argument, engar solramo, heated argument. So vadaha means a discussion which never produces heat, which never invokes my ego. I am all the time interested in knowing the truth, and I am ready to accept I am wrong if it is very clear to me. That means I should be able to set aside my ego. And that is why when they come to Vedantic dialogue, the Shishya is asked to do Namaskara. Doing Namaskara is symbolically declaring to the teacher that, O teacher, I am ready to set aside my ego. I will listen without any prejudice. If I have got wrong notions, I am ready to drop the notion. If I listen with ego, I will never drop my notion. Whenever I contradict your view, in those cases you reject mine. And whenever I agree with you, you accept my opinion. Whenever I contradict you, you reject me. Whenever I am in agreement with you, you accept me. Which means what? You hold on to your view alone. This is called filtered listening. Whichever is convenient you take, and the other things you are not able to drop, that means I lack intellectual honesty. Therefore, a discussion wherein I set aside my ego, wherein I am ready to openly accept, not mentally, verbally accept my mistake, and I am interested in listening to other person. It is the most difficult thing in any discussion or dialogue. Our mind is itching to talk. And we are waiting for that person to take a breath. We start talking. So if I can relaxedly listen to the other person, and then similarly I talk, that is called vadaha or samvadaha. That alone will lead to discovery of truth. And therefore Krishna claims that I am vadaha. So jalpa, vidanta, etc. are there. For each one they give a definition. In one type of discussion, I am interested only in establishing my view. I am not interested in listening to the other. That is one type of wrong dialogue. In another one, I never establish my view because I don't have. My only aim is demolishing your view, whatever it is. And why I want to demolish? Only one reason. You are holding that view. The same view, if I hold, it is right. But if you hold, that is wrong. So thus, varieties of discussions are said. For each one definition is also given. I don't want to get into those details. Vadaha or samvadaha, I am. Continuing. Aksharanamakarosmi. Dvandvasamasikasyacha. அகமேவாக்ஷயஃ காலஹ தாதாஹம் விஸ்வதோ முகஃ So among the letters, what all things Krishna takes, you see, among the alphabetic letters, I am the letter A. In any Indian language, in English language, A doesn't exist. In English language, start A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, O, P. Q, R, S, T, U, V, W, X, Y, Z. ஆ எங்கேயாவது வந்த பாருங்க. When you are pronouncing a word, then you may say, other. இங்கு இடத்தில் ஆ சொல்லலாம். But in alphabetic letters, ஆ doesn't exist at all. Whereas in any Indian language, you take, ஆ is the first letter. ஆ, ஆ, இ, இ, இந்து ஆரம்பிப்போம். And that must be the right thing also because A is the most fundamental letter or the most fundamental sound. And why do we say it is the most fundamental sound? Because when you open your mouth and allow the wind to pass out, what will be the sound? Enna varum? A. When you open the mouth and allow the sound to come, let anyone, Chinese, Russian, Japanese, aaraana vaaya thorakkatum urupadiya. And then allow the sound to come, it will be what? A alone. And that is why when we want the children to open the mouth, enna solrom? A kaattu, A kaattu solromo, E kaattu solromo, U kaattu solromo, I kaattu, A kaattu means what? Open the mouth. And therefore, A is the basic sound, and according to the science of phonetics, all the other letters are modified versions of A alone. So, A is the pliable chapati mavu like thing. You know what you call wheat mavu dough. It is the basic lump which can be shaped into any form. Similarly, A is the basic sound and by changing your mouth and its position, etc., you produce other sounds. For example, you allow the sound to come and show your teeth. When a dentist wants you to show your teeth, enna solluvom? A kaattu solla maattom. Enna sollana? So therefore you allow the sound and show your teeth E. So that's U, A, Ka, Kha, any alphabetic letter is A modified by the appropriate positioning of the Ashtasthanani I said in Shikshavalli. 8 positions are there. Adayalla modify pandra madri. Like a flute, the wind allowed to pass out is the same, but pressing the holes appropriately, one sound is modified into sa ri ga ma. It is not that different winds are passed, ore oodal da. Avarudu vaya parungo, hoona oodin rupar. But by pressing, that one sound is modified. Similarly, a is the karana aksharam, all the others are Karya Aksharani. A is the Upadana Karanam for all alphabetic letters. And do you know who says this? Veda itself says this. The details in the next class. Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.